tweet at Today SOR.
A lot of reaction to that text I read out from Mary criticising the PC brigade, as she described them, going on about what's all this Big Brother, where's it going to end? We can't eat meat, drink alcohol, light home fires, drive cars, fly on planes, bet or eat sweets. Which prompts responses from people like Tom saying, what Mary forgot to say is that the PC brigade are always the biggest offenders. We call them dictators. Another caller couldn't agree with Mary more. And then, bravo, Mary, sick of the PC brigade. 51551 for your texts. Email today, smr at rte.ie. Now, Christmas, of course, can be a wonderful time for families. But what if your family doesn't fit into the traditional stereotype? An increase in divorce and separation means that there are now more blended families in Ireland, many of them indeed, for whom Christmas can present its own challenges. So with some advice on how to manage these challenges, I am joined by GP and mental health specialist Dr. Harry Barry, by Dr. Anne-Marie Craven from the Department of Psychology at the University of Limerick. She's in our Limerick studio, and also here in studio, psychotherapist Enda Murphy. Good morning to you all. Thanks indeed for coming in. I suppose, Harry, I'll start with you, as I often do. Before we look at the potential problems which can arise, you want to stress that there will be actually many happily blended families for whom Christmas will actually be a wonderful time.
Yeah, I think this is really important. I think sometimes when we do slots like this, there can be a suggestion or an emphasis that, you know, that everything is negative. But of course, there are going to be many, many families where, you know, maybe peace has been broken out amongst the varying groups involved, and both the children and the parents in such situations have kind of come to terms with whatever difficulties there were, and are looking forward to real happy and peaceful Christmas. But, you know, unfortunately, in life, you know, even though sometimes we don't wish it to be so, unfortunately, people, because we are all irrational and emotional, from some blended families, it's just a nightmare.
Yeah, just to describe or give us a definition, looser or whatever we want to give it to us, Harry, of what is a blended family?
Yeah, a blended family really consists really where usually the most common situation is where there's been two separate relationships which break down. That would be the commonest situation. And in both cases, there are children involved. And what happens is, these two pairs break up and they meet other people who maybe have children or don't have children, and then all this family unit have to reconnect up. In other words, it depends who the children are with, whether with the mother, whether with the father, whatever. So you end up with this very, very complex situation, which it's very interesting to note that in America, 50% of families are blended families. I mean, that's an incredible statistic. Mm-hmm.
So, it doesn't necessarily result from separation. I mean, it might be that
might
maybe
from a debt of
a bereavement or something.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and would you go along with that explanation?
I would. Yes, you know, like you know, as life develops, you know, like I can remember years ago, you know, you had the Waltons and you had the Brady Bunch. You know, as to which one you're going to actually have. But as people, you know, as like kind of, you know, between debts, between divorce and everything like that, you know, children are having to get used to other, to new sibs, to step, kind of stepchildren and everything like that, you know. So, you know, in doing it, it presents challenges and there's rewards in it, all right? Most people try to avoid the challenges as much as they can, all right? The biggest problem I would probably see, I don't see it that often, would be if you try and create a replica of what your previous family was. So you're going to have good points in your previous family, you're going to have good points in their partner's previous family, and then what you'll do is you'll try and replicate both together, and that's going to cause conflict. So what you're going to do is you're going to end up having a brand new family, which is going to have its own challenges. The second one would be, you know, how strong your own relationship is, you know, and your marriage, you know, and your relationship with your new partner, you know, being civil with each other, you know, and children will play up or down to expectations. So they will mimic what's actually happening. So, you know, my own advice is you got to find out what went wrong in your previous relationship before you jump into the next one, or you'll just go out and make the same mistakes all over again. And I think for most people, you know, it's all down to, you know, like kind of if you don't make these mistakes with this person, you would have made them with similar people. So it's all evolving.
Yeah, Anne-Marie, I suppose, you know, it's true that different parenting styles, you know, that may, as Harry and Anne have been saying, they can each be brought to bear for good or otherwise in a blended family. But one sure thing is it's going to be a complicated arrangement.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be so many challenges to any nuclear family, and that's only going to be magnified when you have multiple sets, I suppose, of parenting styles. So research suggests that, you know, the spouses who bring kids into a new relationship can often feel caught in the middle between caring for their children and nurturing a relationship with their spouse, and also balancing the parenting style they would have had with their former partner with a parenting style with their new partner. So that's a major challenge to figure out. And I suppose for the person caught in the middle of that, I suppose a person who's moved on from a previous relationship, that's going to be particularly felt, I suppose, even at times like Christmas.
And is there an issue, Anne-Marie, about maybe parents feeling some measure of guilt towards the children from the first relationship?
Yeah, you know, there's very little research in an Irish context on blended families, but I think we're going to see more of it as they increase. But what we do know from what's there and what's there in the US context that Harry mentioned is that feeling guilt towards your children and indeed your whole family from this, I suppose, original family is a really strong emotion. And I think at Christmas that's only going to be magnified. And it also is unfortunately going to be a source of stress between a person and their new partner. That new partner can often feel that their partner's indulgence of their children is in conflict with the nurturing of the new relationship. And I think as well, guilt in some cases can be a very helpful emotion. But if it's possible for the parent to put that aside, you know, and move on from it, you might feel guilty, but is that what should really drive your parenting behaviour? Probably not. So although it's going to be felt, if you can disentangle it from your parenting style, that would probably be very helpful.
And presumably, Anne, there will be challenges, just particularly about the arrival, say, of a step-parent and step-siblings in a home, or the imposition of a new style Christmas after many years of just doing things in a particular way.
Oh, yeah, you know, like, and you know, it's like trying to herd cats. You're talking about a group of individuals who've all been doing something completely different, and you put them all under the same roof. So, you know, as Anne-Marie was saying there, you've got to start planning this from a long way out. You don't just arrive on day one.
Well,
no,
you've
we'll
only 2 weeks.
Well, but, you know, the idea is to start planning the new how the new family will function, you know, before the marriage even takes place. One of the, you know, a good point would be, you know, one, you have to get over your own feelings, your own painful divorces, separations and everything like that. You know, heightened emotions create heightened behaviours. Try to keep as many changes, all right, as are going to occur to a minimum. Just changes takes time. It's going to be slow. People need time to get used to each other. You know, overriding, you could say, you know, principles before personalities. Get the principles right. What are we there to get the same type of ideology behind it, and try and ignore as many personality issues as you can. And that's how teams work. You know, kind of sometimes you have to say, I remember being told years ago, you know, in the army, you know, it says, you're not a mutual admiration society, but you're dependent on each other for your own lives.
Harry, again, trying to treat everybody well and not wanting to offend, if you like, your stepchildren.
Yeah.
These are all the things that have to be negotiated.
Well, there's all this stuff going on, but there's a really important part here. I think when we talk about blended families, there is a monster in the midst, and it's fortunately it's not often in the family. It's the people outside of it. So it's often the ex-partners who create the greatest amount of problems, because the ex-partner puts this huge pressure. They're often feeling very guilty, maybe in relation to their. So they start to exert all this pressure, you know, as to how they want things done. And of course, this creates pressure between the person and their new partner. Do you know what I mean? So you have all these situations. And I think there's a lot of hate and there's a lot of hurt and there's a lot of resentment, which pours in, particularly at Christmas, because suddenly Christmas kind of highlights it all, because Christmas is meant to be this lovely, happy period of time. And then, of course, the pressure comes on. I want the children to come to me. I don't want them spending time with you. Where are they going to spend their time? And then all this issue, another common issue of trying to bribe. Do you know what I mean? Maybe influence coming from the outside saying, we're going to use money, or we're going to use financial endowments. We're going to give you great presents so that you will look on us more so than in your new situation. So all those, the poor children are caught like in literally in a maelstrom.
So what's the way through that?
Well, if you look at, you know, I remember a colleague saying to me one time, he says, you'll only ever be as happy as your unhappiest child. So, you know, if your children are unhappy, I can guarantee as a parent, you're going to be unhappy. So, you know, putting the children's needs and understanding their needs. So, you know, the first is children need to feel safe and secure. They need to feel loved. They need to be valued. They need to feel heard, emotionally connected, appreciated, encouraged, and they need limits and boundaries. The problem occurs is that if I've got my own children, I'm used to doing that. They have a relationship with me. But now I have to bring in somebody else who they don't know as well, who's now going to have authority. And it's kind of, you're not my boss kind of thing. So it's balancing the two and understanding, you know, when to step in and just when to step out.
Yeah, sorry, you want to come in there?
Yeah, if I can come in just on that point, because we were talking about the children, but also Enda mentioned, of course, the step-parent or the person in the step-parent role. And what's really missing for people in that role, I think, is a script for what a step-parent should be. So Enda mentioned, of course, that they have some authority, but how much authority do they have? You know, they're not a parent, they're not a friend, and we don't have as many step-parents in Ireland as we might do in future. So I think people in that role really flounder for knowing how to behave. And also particularly for some parents or some step-parents, you know, you're really caught between involving yourself in a parental role when you're not a parent or stepping back and not being involved. So for people in this role, it can be lose-lose. What I really think helps at times of stress like Christmas is if there was a clear discussion about what that role of a step-parent would be.
Yeah, I suppose the other point is, like, you know, in popular culture, the idea of the wicked stepmother isn't too far below the surface. And, you know, as you say, there's no great script for how we handle these things.
No, we have this idea, you know, of a wicked stepmother from fairy tales, I suppose. We don't really think about what a stepfather is like. And I think that's really unfair on the mothers or the women who are the new partners, you know, in these kind of situations. And we do know from some research on it that, you know, the stepmothers tend to report, I suppose, a bit more involvement with parenting than stepfathers do. So there's going to be more potential for conflict there.
And you might actually have a blended family whereby one of the parents is becoming a parent for the first time. So they're not becoming a parent from childhood onwards. They're suddenly taking two or three teenagers on board.
Yeah, some of the questions we've been getting them in. My children and stepchildren can't stand each other, yet they all show up at our house every year. It never ceases to surprise me. I wanted to run away this year, but my partner wouldn't agree to it. What's the point of having Christmas in such a bad atmosphere?
Yeah, I couldn't agree. I was just about to say that we also forget that we have two different sets of children here. And I can personally relate to situations where there has been horrible relationships between the two sets of, where they just never ever could accept. You know, in one case, it did, you couldn't accept that a new mother, in their opinion, was brought in. And in those circumstances, I think Christmas can become a nightmare. But I think it's really important that we, you know, as that goes on, as that gets deeper, that can become nearly impossible. And in some situations, we have to accept that personalities are such that they're simply not going to, they're not going to be able to come to an agreement on
it. The critical thing in that message is they still keep coming back. Yeah. So they're obviously getting something. And the analogy that comes back was an experiment that was done some years ago where they get a rat who associates levers with food. And then they put him in a tunnel where he's got two levers. One, he gets no reaction, and the other, he gets a small electrical shock. And he tries both levers, and he knows now what both levers do, but he's still looking for the food. So which lever does he play with? He actually plays with the lever that gives him the shock, because it's better a bad reaction than no reaction at all. So if the children are coming back and they're just squabbling and everything like that, what is each of them trying to say that's not being listened to by the others, that they're having to go to such extremes in order to be heard?
I want to read out another text. Perhaps, Anne-Marie, you might respond to this one. Last year, I'll never forget Christmas Day. My stepson shouted across the table, "It doesn't matter because you're not my mother." It broke my heart in small pieces. And to make it worse, everyone reacted and started sympathising with me. The child probably didn't mean to cause any hurt.
No, they probably, depending on their age now, they probably didn't. But this is another example of how when someone fulfills this step-parent role, we don't really know how they should behave. And clearly the child doesn't really know how they should behave. I think what's important there is, and the spouse that's in the middle, the spouse that has this original family, they need to take this in hand and they need to negotiate a role for their new partner. And that could help them feel more included in the family. It's something step-parents often report, not feeling included in this new family. But it would also be helpful for the child to understand where the boundaries and so on are in this home. And unfortunately, that spouse in the middle, you know, they're going to have a lot of work to do, but it's really on them to negotiate that new role.
And you have to be very careful when a child says that, that you don't react. For starters, you know, the standard answer to theirs, I know I'm not. You have to acknowledge what the child has actually said. And then, you know, you have to get into the difference between what's called the writing reflex and the listening reflex. If the writing is reflex where you're going to correct them, you're going to tell them, well, I know I'm not, but, you're not listening. So all you're going to do is wind them up. So what you have to do is you have to understand.
How dare you is not what you said by your response.
No.
Absolutely not. So what you do is you say, do you know what? I know I'm not your mum, but you know, what could I do to improve this? What would you like in a mum? Are you missing your own mum? What has she got? And also understand, get him talking about the dilemma he's in with the situation he's in, and then help him understand that.
Yeah, I think the most important thing to say is to completely change the thing. Say, this must be very difficult for you. You know, this must be a very difficult situation. I'm finding it very difficult. I find it very strange. So it must be very, very challenging and difficult for you. The first thing you need to do with this boy is validate how he feels. This boy is actually showing he's trapped. He's feeling trapped between his biological mother and his new stepmother. And he's probably been instinctively pulled apart. He wants to be with his dad, probably, but he also wants to be with his mum. And he sees this person as maybe blocking that.
And Marie, another one, as Dan in Drumcondra says, as a victim of blended families, the biggest problem is that the new relationships formed are completely contrived and tolerated by the children for the sake of the newly loved up adults. When a step parent dies, watch the other family disappear from your life in days.
Yeah, I
sorry, Anne-Marie.
Oh, sorry, Harry. Yeah, that's a sad interpretation, I think. And it's not one that everyone will have. But of course, that person who's texted in, Dan from Drumcondra, they are acknowledging that step families don't, you know, they don't go on forever either, blended families. I don't think everyone will disappear. I think in any relationship, you know, you might lose people when someone passes away. So you're going to have to accept that. But I think you make the best with the family you have at this time.
Yeah. And if you turn around, you know, like kind of the parents are loved up. That's a couple who are doing it totally the wrong way because they think this is all about us. You're all good. This is our permanent wedding day and everybody's just going to love us up without realising the difficulties the other are having. And that's goes back to my original point. If you put the kids first and get it right with the kids, you'll get it right between yourself and your partner. So you have to understand, and that obviously that person went through a world whereby their needs weren't being acknowledged and now you see the results of the writing reflex. Which is, I'm now angry about it.
Sean, we're not a blended family, but we still have tensions when sister-in-law arrives on Christmas Eve every year. I say I will rise above it, but it's difficult. Have you any advice, Harry?
Yeah. I'm not sure what they actually mean there.
Well, they obviously can't. Well, she obviously can't stand the sister-in-law.
Yeah, well, certainly in those situations. I think, let's face it, all families, there will be sibling personality difficulties. One of my favourite statements is, just because we have children doesn't mean that we will all, you know, we will love them, but they will all be very different. And two siblings may not necessarily like each other at all. And those kind of conflicts will be there in non-blended families, never mind blended families.
And something like that is, Christmas is 12 hours. Yeah. You start in the morning, the toys are all broken by 10 o'clock and everybody has the row and everybody goes home. When you're dealing with a person like that, the first time thing is acknowledge your own feelings. What is it that's really winding you up about this person? What can I actually do about it? And then what you do is you basically just manage it and suck it up for the 12 hours.
You've often said, I think in the past, Harry, we shouldn't have inflated expectations about Christmas.
Yes. I think Christmas is simply a very short period of time where we're all together. Unfortunately, at Christmas, we're all pushed together, you know, for maybe 2 or 3 days. We drink too much. We don't get enough sleep. You know, we're overeating. We don't exercise. And all those flashpoints may come to a head. So
we're all creatures of habit.
But I think it's important. It's only a period of time.
It is. It's 12 hours.
I really, if you can, I always think prevention is better than the cure. So I always maintain, if you can at all, try and get in ahead here. Try and plan ahead. Plan weeks ahead. you know, most important thing for me is that this is a terribly difficult risk time for a child, that the child will end up feeling rejected or hurt. So treat every child the same.
Yes,
that, to
and
me, is
as
the
you
key.
Said at the very outset, Harry, it does work well for a lot of families. And another one, by way of contrast to Dan in Drumcondra, Audrey says, I was a stepmother for 10 years. In spite of no longer being in that role, I have a lovely relationship with my ex-partner's children who are in their 20s. There's hope, she says. And here's one. What about the grandparents? They get caught up in all this as well.
Yeah.
Well, believe it or not, what that last texter actually said there was very true. For starters, there's a couple of fallacies. One is, children don't need to actually be loved. They need you. They have needs from you. They need you to be a constant source of food, warmth and dependable affection. And the children will bond. They don't have to just bond with their genetic equivalents, with their genetic parents. So what that mother actually did was she built up the individual relationship with each child. And you can do that with anything. I do it every day as a therapist. You know, I often say to parents, you know, if your child comes to me, the conversation you want them to have with me is the conversation they're trying to have with you. So why don't you just improve your communication? Let me teach you how to communicate, understand what they're saying. And if children feel they're being understood, they will bond with you.
But I totally agree with Anne. I couldn't agree more. But I really have sympathy for that person who has emailed in, because I think grandparents are completely caught in the trap here, because grandchildren love each of their grandchildren really, really in a very special way. But they feel very, very much trapped in this situation, because sometimes the new partner coming in, the grandparents will click and sometimes they won't click, and sometimes their children will click and sometimes they won't click, and yet they find themselves caught in the middle. Really, who did they're trying not to take sides, but really feel very trapped in it as well.
And that's still people putting themselves first. What do I want out of this? My personal relationship with you is completely irrelevant. It's how are we going to look after Sean over there?
Thanks
what do
very
we need
much.
To do?
Yeah. You want to come in there?
Yeah, just, you know, there's some research that suggests these blended families can be associated with poorer outcomes for children. You know, just very small effects. But actually, in families where there's been a lot of work to have a harmonious blended family, you're not going to see that. So to anyone out there who's part of a blended family who feels their efforts are never appreciated or never noticed in terms of keeping, you know, everyone on an even keel over these times, it may go unnoticed, but it is very worthwhile. It is really contributing to, you know, a happy child in the long term. So I just think people in these families who have this extra stress at Christmas should give themselves a pat on the back for their efforts.
Okay, well, look, on that encouraging note, we leave it. Anne-Marie Craven in Limerick. Thank you very much indeed, Dr. Anne-Marie Craven. Also, my thanks to Dr. Harry Barry. I'm having a real trouble with the names today. And the psychotherapist, Enda Murphy. We're talking UK politics after this break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.